This is the Legislative Procedure and Arrangements Committee meeting of March 10, 2010 in the Harvest Room of the State Capitol.
So all rural electric people are in the statewide candidates.
Will is off, is he in there?
Yeah, he's...
Well, John called a caucus meeting for 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
At the Woodhouse. Will called a dual caucus meeting for 6 o'clock.
I need to find a bathroom, and I can get a couple of sheep to that little...
You can have all the sheep for that little paper over there. You're most welcome.
So, okay, we'll have to business that.
Yeah, I'd just like to know if I'm having burgers or something else.
Right.
All right, the only, there's the, as far as the proposed rules and amendments, I think, Dave, if you want to go over those, there's the one important one that we need to discuss is the calendar during the session.
Right.
If you remember, we had discussion about lengthening out the first half of the session, and we had some options that were there. It would be nice if we could make that decision after looking at and discussing it today, so it's actually to put into the works as far as our deadlines go and those things. So, Jay, if you'd explain those again so we understand exactly what's going on here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, you have the rules in here. We'll keep on continuing on with the rules until a decision is made. The first one has to do with publication. I explained that last time about whether an online version is official versus a printed version, and this rule clarifies that whatever we publish is the official version because it's the same thing, at least so far it is. Then the next thing you see is a table depiction of three versions of a draft, changing reporting dates and the crossover dates and for the first and second session. Ignore the table's nice, but it's easier to look at the calendar right behind it. The table points out that changing some deadlines doesn't really give a committee any more time. To change a deadline from a Thursday to a Friday, that doesn't help a three-day committee. It helps a two-day committee, but not a three-day committee, so understand that ratio. The first calendar you see is the current deadlines, and that's the calendar for 2011. I want to point out the 55th legislative day you see on March 23rd. I've always told the committee that the deadlines are based on a 60-day legislative session. That's true, except for the deadline to report in the second house. That originally was the 48th legislative day. So under a 60-day time frame, that gave 12 days for conference committees to meet. In 1995, that was moved back to the 55th legislative day to give more time in the second house. Okay? On it. So the deadlines in the second house were bumped back a little bit in 1995. It was moved to the 55th legislative day. These are what the current deadlines are. If you flip the page, you can see what the deadlines are for the third draft of that bill, or of the rules amendment. And basically, here's what the changes are. If you look at February, you see February 7th, new deadline. That was moved, the effect of that was moving that deadline from the old 23rd legislative day to the 25th legislative day, which gives each three-day committee and each two-day committee one more day before they have to re-refer bills to the Appropriations Committee. That's what happens when you move it from a Thursday to a Monday. You give each committee one more day. Or each class of committee, group of committees. Okay? So that's the change. That was the change in every bill, every version. The third draft includes that. What's a major change is that on the 36th, you go down to February 22nd, what's done here is it moves it back a week. I'll just tell you, the current deadline would have it on February 15th. The third draft moves it a week, gives an additional week to report out of the house of origin. Okay. By doing that, moving it to the 36th legislative day, you also have to move crossover because you don't want crossover before you report them out of committee. So crossover was moved from February 18th to February 25th. So basically, the house of origin receives an additional week to consider bills, an additional week for crossover. Okay? Now the crossover recess would then be bumped back a week. Instead of on the 21st and 22nd of February, it'll be on the 28th of February and March 1st. So everything in the first house is moved back a week with respect to reporting bills out of committee and crossover. You get into the second house, and we did the same thing with respect to deadline to report constitutional amendments and study resolutions. I don't think that's a real major deadline. That doesn't cause as much stress as bills on it. And the deadline for the crossover for resolutions, that's moved back a week. So basically, those two deadlines, reporting constitutional amendments and crossover for resolutions, those are dropped back a week also, just to keep the same ratio from crossover to reporting those resolutions out. You go down to the re-referral in the second house. It's March March 25th. The current deadline would be March 11th. What we've done in the second house is move it back 2 weeks, and that gives the second house 1 week extra. Because you give an extra week in the first house, to keep the deadlines the same in the second house, you've just shorted them a week. So just by moving it a week in one house, you keep it the same.
Yep.
If you're giving your house of origin an extra week, you're giving the second house an extra week. So that's why we move everything back 2 weeks in the second chamber. So that's where that deadline for referral appropriations goes from March 11th to March 25th. The deadline for reporting in the second house goes from March 23rd to April 6th, to the 65th legislative day. Okay. So basically we're giving a week, we're giving an extra day to each 3-day committee and 2-day committee to refer bills to the Appropriations Committee. We're giving an extra week in the House of Origin for committees to report bills out. We're giving an extra week in the second house to report bills out. But that bumps them back 2 weeks because you've taken one of those weeks in the first house. That's what the changes are. The 80th day is still April 27th because we haven't changed legislative days. So that's what the third draft does, and that's really the most reasonable draft. Moving 1 or 2 days ends up with crossover in the middle of the week, or ends up with crossover on a Monday, and...
So the one that says crossover extra 1 week, second house deadline is 2 weeks is the one that you're working
yes.
for. Now,
yes.
If you looked at the dates, that would be the one you're referring to. What many members' thoughts on the changes here? President Biggest
Well, Mr. Chairman, the only thought I had initially was that we're going to guarantee ourselves an evening session.
Pretty much.
Because you've shortened up the time by 10 full days between that last deadline and the 80th day.
Of course, we were almost 80 last time.
79.
I know. Mr. Chairman, just in response to that, remember that originally it was 12 days for conference committees from reporting to the ultimate deadline. This still leaves 15 days from the 65th to the 80th. So you're giving, more time, still giving more time. It's just the question is whether there's going to be as many conferences.
Mr. Chairman, I had the exact same thought as Representative Vigasaw did until I realized that every day for 2 weeks we were suspending the rule and pushing it back anyway. So,
yes, I make that motion a couple times.
I more than a couple.
So, sorry, man.
Your 80 days is 80 days. So yeah. I think this draft 3. The new way we've been talking here and just went through is a big improvement, and hopefully if we do these things and give us more time, we make use of that time in a nice fashion and don't have to be messing with the rules, you know.
Well, when we started out, I'm sure the session's a lot different, but there's 1,000 bills, and now our budget is $6 billion.
Yeah.
It isn't like the old days, it's $6 billion, and it's very difficult, and I've never felt it was a race. If we're going to do this right, I don't care if it takes 8 days, I don't mind if my name's on the list for being the longest session, if we did it right. So I personally think that we've jammed way too much into the first half, and this is going to give us the proper time we need. Because we look at everything in the second half, but we cull out a whole bunch of stuff. And every budget has had one look at that point in time prior to NOLA's, because we've already got the recommendation from the other house. So I think that this is, in my opinion, an improvement. Senator Jensen, any comment?
I just heard people on the radio today wondering why we didn't go to 60 days.
Yeah.
We thought it'd get done in 60, now there's even less people in the state.
That guy from California was there in session year-round telling us that we can do it in 60 days.
Or someone that called in.
Yeah. Well, we would need a motion, Jay, to approve that.
So moved.
Representative Munson moves.
Second.
What are the
and there's a second by, wait before we have discussion. Second by Representative Boucher. Now we're open for discussion. Senator Sanders.
Well, I still don't quite see, Mr. Chairman, where did we get these extra days that we get a week at the beginning, week in the end, and
still have the same time at the end, and we're all pushing.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I didn't say you have to stay a long time at the end. I just say you still have 80 days.
Well, yeah, we have 80 days, but in order to all the push to get all these conference committees done, and in this last session, we had some contentious stuff. We had a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of money that was spent. There were a lot of programs that we did, probably more than we've ever done. And I'll tell you what, it was a chore. I don't know there was any waste of time at the end. I mean, it was busy to make those deadlines.
But we still, what his point was, is that we still got our bills all done into the conference committees, and we had 12 days to go.
Under the original time frame for a 60-day session, there was 12 days left for conference committees. Okay. Under the current rules, you have 25 days for conference committees. This drops it down to 15 days. It takes 2 weeks off.
25 days and it's 80, so that's only 5.
Well, the 55th day was the day to report out an 80-day session. So the question on the and I'm not being facetious here, is that if your conference committees know that they have to have their work done in a week, they'll get it done in a week. They know that they have 4 weeks to do it.
Well, I don't. I don't necessarily disagree with that. Some of this work does tend to fill up the time you have available, but.
And presumably, if there's more time to hear the bills in the committee, there'll be fewer bills going to conference committee if better decisions are made by the Senate committees.
Well, when we had a situation, and that'll get the Representative Munson, where our B committees had basically one day to get them out for their deadline for appropriations, because they only meet Thursday and Friday, and they had to have it out that Friday. And some of them had enough bills, they had hardly had all their hearings. And they had to kick those bills out with appropriations in them. Now, one day doesn't give you a lot more, but it gives you more. And I think it's a plus.
Mr. Chairman, there's nothing, Jay, that says that we can't have conference committees going before 15 days either. You know, if you're ready to go with a conference committee, you know you've got some differences. You can do it 25 days before the end.
Yeah. That's easy on the policy side. It's harder on the appropriation.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you can have conference committees going in January.
Yeah.
If you want to get a bill passed.
But that's our rules. They say we're supposed to, once it's been appointed, whatever, we got 3 days, it's supposed to have a hearing.
Up to, when the leadership appoints a conference committee, leadership is really saying, get your work done.
He is correct in saying we could do it if we chose to.
Yeah.
We could pick those. If Burl and I agreed, and you and Bob agreed, all right, we're going to knock these 4 bills out, and we're going to appoint those committees to meet the deadline, we can get it done. So we could take a few of them off the table. The trouble is we're taking off the table the ones that have nothing to do at the end anyway. And that's our policy committees who are sitting around wondering why we aren't done yet. So I'm not sure we want to do that either. Otherwise, they'll all be in your office, Merle.
Run out of coffee.
All right, well, we'll take a vote. We still have a form, don't we? Understand him, Ron?
Yes.
We'll take a vote so we can move on.
I carry a lot of weight, Mr. Chairman, but
we'll move on around the weather. And he'll get over it.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Boucher.
Yes.
Munson.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Migasa.
Yes.
Senator Stengel. Christman. Klein.
Yes.
Nelson. O'Connell.
Yes.
Motion carries, Mr. Chairman.
All right, the rest of the Senate rules things, if you read those over, we'll discuss them next time. We'll move on in the June meeting. Is that when the appropriation budget section meets again? In June?
Mr. Chairman, the date hasn't been set yet.
So it is a June meeting, and we'll have a longer meeting that day. We'll clear these things off our calendar so that those little changes can. And at one point in time, Jay, you sent me a list of some things that were recommended. Are they in here, or just thoughts you had when you looked at the last section?
They're all
in front.
All the questions I got that were amenable to a rules change were put in as rules for amendment.
Okay. All right, because I remember you gave me a list of six or seven things and didn't want to miss any of those. Would you like to cast a vote on that last thing?
No, that's fine.
Mr. Chairman, I guess the question I have is, you know, we do the legislative update. Do you want notice of this included in that about the recommendation of legislative procedure?
I believe so.
No crossover, so kind of explain that.
So I think that people are already getting plane tickets on the crossover.
Yeah. I'm hoping they're holdover candidates. Yeah, I hope they're holdovers. Anything else on the agenda?
No, Mr. Chairman. I just want to point out that if you know anybody that's considering a legislative meeting of the fourth of June, a Friday, the fourth and fifth and sixth of June, there's going to be a little crowd up here in the Capitol. It's going to be the Boy Scout 100th anniversary jamboree. And from what I understand, they expect about 2,000 Boy Scouts camping on the Capitol grounds.
Wow.
So the chambers will be used for mock legislative session for the Boy Scouts, and that was approved by you during the last session by passing that Senate concurrent resolution.
That's good. That's a good thing.
Okay. I do have one thing I'd like to bring up about the wellness
committee. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Karen Munn, Legislative Administrator for Legislative Council. One of my duties is the Wellness Coordinator for both the Legislative Council and the Legislative Assembly. And each year we need to choose a wellness program for both the Council and the Assembly. This committee, I believe it was, before the last session, we chose to have a comprehensive health risk assessment program, and we had Dr. Brusso come in, and he worked through the Doctor of the Day program, and that became the 4 points that we needed to achieve in order to get the discount on our health insurance premium. Our wellness, I do have a committee that works with me now, and we have recommended, and in conjunction with Dr. Brusso and the Doctor of the Day program, to do that again for this next 2011 session. When we did this the first time, this committee did approve it by a vote, and I wondered if you would like to consider that at this point, or whether you don't need a vote. We do have to have that application in this month yet.
Any motion in regard to that,
committee
members?
Motion to do exactly what? To have Karen put together this plan?
The motion is to approve the health risk assessment as our wellness program for the 2010-2011 fiscal year.
I'd move.
Second.
That's the legislative assembly program.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's correct.
Moved by Representative Munson, seconded by Senator Klein. Any discussion? If not, we'll take a roll call vote.
President Carlson.
Yes.
Boucher.
Yeah.
Munson.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Sigetsup.
Yes.
Senator Stangeum.
Yes.
Christman. Klein.
Aye.
Nelson. O'Connell.
Yes.
Motion carried. Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out that assessment for Legislative Assembly includes a 5-mile run.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Any other business for the good of the order?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, from the Monday.
I just want to mention the fact that I had a chance to try and go back and look at some minutes from hearings and so on, and then I'm probably looking for a particular statement, and I didn't see it, and then you had to go into the audio and you'd find that. And I've had comments that from other individuals, and I'm just, is there about when we, the minutes from a hearing or versus the audio tapes, is there a specific procedure? Does it have to be as close to word for word? Or is it kind of the thought process or whatever? I guess I've had that brought to my attention, and I ran into it before, and I just, what everybody's thoughts are on that. Accuracy of the minutes versus the audio tapes.
Gentlemen?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Vigas, are you talking about the standing committee or talking about interim committee?
No, standing committees.
Standing committee.
During the session, and then when they're recorded, the audio tapes are there, they're what they are, but when the actual written minutes are, they're not necessarily the same, and you're looking for a certain statement, and I'm not finding it in the minutes, the written minutes.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Olmstead, minutes are not transcripts. We give training session to committee clerks, and we try to tell them, get the major points on it. It's best if people have prepared statements, and people that testify, especially if they're experienced, have prepared statements, because that way there's no mistake as to what they include in the record. The difficulty we have is that the committee clerks are the ones that are doing the minutes, and if the committee clerk is conversing with the chairman, or doing anything else, or punching holes, they're not picking up what's being said. And, you know, it sounds like I'm justifying what the committee clerks do, but I'm just laying out the facts here on it.
Are you asking which one's more accurate, or which one do you go by, or what are you asking?
I'm asking that you have your audio recordings, mm-hmm. and then when that gets changed over to the written transcripts, they're not always the same. You're looking for something specific you can't find in the written. So I'm just wondering, is there a procedure of accuracy from the audio to the written transcripts?
No. That's easy. Because we tell the clerks, you don't have time to listen to the tapes. For example, the tape today is almost 2 hours. To listen to that tape, to get an accurate statement, it's going to take probably 6 hours because people mumble, you can't understand what they're saying, you don't know who's talking unless they identify themselves. And committee clerks, you know, they're in the committee's meeting in the morning, and in the afternoon, they have to do the reports. And that the reports are really more important than the minutes at that time, but they're also under a time crunch to get their minutes done on it because they try to get their minutes done within a week on it so that the minutes are available. Now, during the technology, we'll be able to have the audio portions, you know, we're looking at placing those on the web so you have access to the audio for the tapes. But the minutes are not transcripts. Now, some chairmen want transcripts, and those are the committee clerks that are working at night. And whether they come back the next session or not, it depends, because they're getting the same pay as a committee clerk that quits at 5. Some committee clerks work past the session. Some committee clerks, there's a wide variety of quality of minutes if you look at the different committees. Some committee clerks are experienced. They can pick up points real well. But it depends on what the committee clerk decides is important.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. So what I'm hearing then, Jay, is that testimony, you know, from be they lobbyist or whomever, the old sponsors and that is quite accurate because if they give a written testimony, that testimony is filed and kept on record.
Yes.
Where we seem to probably find disparity is when we talk about committee discussion. Because people obviously don't prepare written statements for their committee's discussion. They make statements and then there's response and dialogue in the committee. That's what goes on. And so that's where it seems like we have our issues. So what I'm hearing then is that probably a lot of times, and I've gotten this question too, is that a lot of times the tapes are actually incomplete. Is what happens. I mean, are the tapes kept forever? Or, I mean, are they on a file for a period of time? Is there a policy for that, or is it just...
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Boucher, the tapes are kept forever. We keep them here for until the next session, and then we transfer them to the Historical Society. Mm-hmm. The problem we have is technology. So the tapes that are on file range from regular size, the old style cassette tapes, to the micro tapes, and now we have them on the server, so we don't have tapes. Once those get transferred to, I think are we putting them on CDs, Jason? So, the tapes are there, so that people can get the audio of the standing committee
But if this, I'm assuming there would be something that you contested in the minutes to even find that. Well, wouldn't the tape be the backup for that?
Yes.
And if it's not there, it's not anywhere.
Right.
So, I mean, you do have a record. It's just a matter of you got to go digging to find the tape side of it if it's not at all in the on the written minutes.
Mr. Chairman,
I see where a discussion would be the one that would be the hardest. Because it's back and forth, and a lot of times the names aren't identified. And,
well, Mr. Chairman, and following up on, you know, where you might have unprepared statements when there's a question and the person at the podium answers, you know, you, and then not all the rooms have as good a mics either. In fact, I've not even used my mic here today. I'm not sure that everything is getting picked up on the tape, so... You know, if you don't have a high-quality mic in front of you, can you make it out? I don't know. I guess my question is, did you find the comment you needed in the end? Did you go back to the tapes, or...?
Correct, yeah. I finally found it in the situation I was looking at. I'm not sure about the other individuals. My real concern is, I know it's on the audio, you can dig back and find the audio. My concern is we do not have a uniform policy, basically, from committee to committee, clerk to clerk, that they're all kind of following about the same standard, and it seems to me that they all just choose to do what they want to do, and it's up later that you find it. So I think there should be somewhat of a uniform working matter in that.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Austin, they're trained to the same standard. They're told what to record. The question is, the chairman then tell them what they want. And once they leave our training sessions, we don't have control over them. Some chairmen want it in transcript type form. Others, very loose. I guess that's all I can say, and tell either we rely solely on the audio and use the minutes as a more of a table of contents where the discussion is recorded by the digital number, or we have court recorders in every committee taking, you know, doing transcripts.
And Mr. Chairman, I guess as committee chairman, I never really suggested that she does it in a particular way. I'm suggesting the coach does what we do right now. Generally, what we think is an exciting statement to them, they're just writing down what they think is made, you know, unless they got it in a discussion that seemed like a real bold statement, just another, in our committee, they hear bold statement after bold statement after bold statement, and they're just going to write down. It's in progress on my committee, come on, guys. So, you know, where do we sort that out? So, I'm trying to cut them slack, but I can understand your concern when you're trying to find.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Klein, what we tell them is when a person comes in and offer a bill, what's important is why is the bill introduced? Why is the bill introduced? That's important. Okay. If there's a question about the bill, does that have anything to do with why is the bill introduced? What change are you trying to make? That's what's important. Side discussions aren't really important because they don't have time to include all the hosts. But if a person comes in and says, I'm introducing this bill to allow companion dogs in restaurants, because I think that's a good idea, and the discussion starts turning into, well, there's German Shepherds, and there's Pit Bulls, and there's Poodles, they're probably not going to write that down. Why do they want companion bills or companion animals in a restaurant? That's because we say the only time people look at that normally is there's a court case. Somebody's asking, was a companion animal, does that include pigs, or is it just dogs? You know, so they go back, well, did somebody say something about, you know, companion pig in a restaurant? That's what people look for, if it gets to court. That's what we say, they want to know why this bill was introduced, and that's the main thing.
Well, I just want to finish up with Representative Onstead. So you're, I guess, in trying to figure out if there is a controversy over what was said or done. We obviously have the tape,
right,
which would be the final court of resolution, because that's the actual recording of what happened in the room. but I don't know that we can expect much a higher level training. Are you thinking we should train them different? What are you thinking there?
I appreciate the explanation of what's going on, and I can agree with the fact that, you know, what's pertinent to the bill and the legislative bill and why we're introducing or why I'm defending it and so on, and a lot of side discussion and so on. I can understand that, and I accept the rationale and so on. I just, my point is, if anybody else has heard the fact that they, you know, transcripts or minutes should be a little more accurate versus the audio, or if you had that difficulty or whatever, is there a difference from chairman to chairman? I'm understanding that it is, and if people have the same question, now I have an answer, I guess, and that's...
That's going to be different than how your clerk is.
It's going to...
We had one that was a tremendous at getting every little detail, and one that was, at best, it was a summary. I mean, what she types up for minutes.
Yep.
So there's a lot of difference in the person who's doing it, too, so...
And I guess maybe in the end, is there somewhat of a self-evaluation from chairmen to clerks, or within legislative council, who are clerks, and who's doing a good job, who's not? You know, do we necessarily ask them to come back? We have a little bit of responsibility as far as some of that reporting goes, and to make the claim that while that's not important, so we're going to leave that out. That's a tough claim to say who's to make that claim. But
well, that's why we
that's
have
the
case.
Point.
Thank God we got the case to back it up if it ever gets to anything serious.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ossoff, probably the best people that can tell you the quality of committee clerk work is our librarians, because they're the ones that are asked to provide legislative histories, because a person will call in and say, I want to know why they did this, and as they're preparing the history, they'll look at the minutes, and they have a pretty good idea as to how good a job the committee clerk did on those minutes, as opposed to something that's really sketchy.
Yep.
But no, there's no tie-in with, being this person, don't ever hire her back again because we're not involved in hiring.
Right. Well, thank you.
I think, Mr. Chairman, if my committee clerk gets her reports filed, we get our information, the room is ready, I don't spend the next day reading the minutes, so I don't know, I have no idea, I'm not going to read what the minutes were. So at the end of the session, I couldn't tell you what they've done, other than they kept our committee running on a regular basis and prepared the reports and got everything up front and made sure that it was ready when the majority of the line was done. But
well,
I
Mr. Chairman,
this
it's not really necessary from within the session. It's like, okay, a legislation was introduced last session, and now you're going to go back and, make some improvements on some legislation. So you're going to go back to where was all the discussions at. So you're first going to look at those minutes, and I was there. You know, these comments were made, and so then you go further, and it's a lot about that, and actually, you're thinking, that should have been written down. I thought that was important. Somebody else didn't think it was important. So I think but the audio is there, you can find that, but that's kind of where you go back to those minutes and say, this is really a shitty job. Excuse my French, but I mean, that was...
It's okay, it's okay.
Mr. Chairman, as long as we're talking about committee clerks, and you got about 2 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever,
yep.
Discussion has come up by committee clerks as to they would like to get paid for grocery shopping. Because, some committee clerks spend a lot of time baking and providing goodies to the committee, and they do that. They can't do it during working hours, so they'd like to get paid for doing that after hours. So that's the kind of discussion you may want to have.
That's between the chairman and the clerk and the collection plate they take.
Yes.
We're not getting into that.
No.
That will not be part of that. We're going to pay extra 3 hours for baking donuts for the committee.
No.
We'll be sending the assistant leader out for buying donuts.
But that may tie in with I have to do grocery shopping, or I'm going to do baking or whatever, so I'm not going to spend too much time doing the minutes because I got to make this up.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you get that, but that's the first job of the minutes.
From the center maybe when we get into the committees and when I chair the committee, if I thought there was something that was important, I made it a point to say, and can we have to make sure that's in the minutes? And if I was testifying in something or whatever, I made that statement by myself, because Senator Klein's right, who knows what's important? And how do you get the information that's ever said on the floor? I don't know where the shape of all the floor sessions are, so how much stuff did we hear on the floor in the debate and things? I mean, it's tough, and those clerks do a lot of tough work.
Any other comments?
Go to adjourn.
Second.
Yeah, it's been longer than we done, the guest's already over.
She was going to bring them down. See?
Now you've got...
I have something for James too before.
And you both of you too.
Yeah.
Just look at this. This is what you gave me. I do say things. All of these things. Yep.
What? Did I give that to you? Yes, I did. Well, I don't know about that. No, I know I didn't give this to you. I don't remember anything about assistant floor leaders. But,
somebody did. Well, who would have given it to me? Came in a deal for me. How are you? Because then they come down and find a screw and nail it, and like the idea. So we need to think about how we do it. Whether those numbers are wrong or how we send those bills out. I don't have the answer. I can tell you it's gotten worse every session I've been here. It used to be you'd get a handful of bills off the floor that would have to be referred to appropriations. 94 bills or something like that.
Oh.
I mean, is there something wrong with the process?
I don't know
what the solution is.
Well, sometimes the bills are referred to appropriations that don't have to be.
Yeah, but that's what I said. We need to clarify that. We need to cut that down. Because honestly, even with the deadlines we changed today, they can't handle 94 bills coming to them after their budget runs.
Let me give you an example. The old country has given a number of homestead exemptions. $25,000.
Yeah.
Unless there's an appropriation to...
But it's reducing revenue.
Doesn't matter.
But there's two sides to the appropriation.
One is in
the
water.
That's true. That's my point in bringing it up. You guys have to look at that and see if you got any thoughts.
Because I think we looked at one time about $50,000 limit rather than $5,000, and I ended up
being $1,000. Well, it's just wrong.
No.
$50,000, I think, was like multiple.
Yeah, so we can't. I mean,
that just killed us.
Tim wanted to see things that he didn't need to see.
Yeah, but it's not going to get any better. They're going to continue to be 1,000 bills in there. So I want to know, and I don't know if there's an easier way to break up or some of these things just go directly to the appropriation.
Well, that's another thing we can find.
Because the minute we make a ruling out of appropriation, we're really dealing with policy. You know, all they dealt with was money. They spent money.
They want.
I mean, and it wasn't little bills. We got $600,000, $800,000, $250,000. That's not changing.
Change of speed.
Yeah.
Move on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be less.
Well, let's see what happens. I already started there.
We'll have less money, right? We'll have as many bills as spending.
We have to figure out, because if we have to look at rule changes for number five, we have to look at procedural changes of where they go, that's why. We'll air it out. I'd like to hear and discuss that in one of our meetings. Because I know last time, Dan, I saw the help.
Oh, yeah, it did. It really did.
Not only that, Grace was that much hard to be like, and then I ended up being a red three.
$200,000 would be a three.
That was anything.
My dying and spending on four bills of $150,000, a total of $600,000.
But how many times do I have time to review at the end of the session or before we start the next one? So we can not, are we going to have this?
Karen, bring me my share.
On Friday, we got breakfast.
Yeah, so I just wondered if